Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday. 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And as we do every Wednesday at 9:30, we say hello to the great John McClain, HoustonTexans.com. That's where you can get his work. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Just digesting from Predators in the playoffs and still alive, and obviously the draft and what all the Titans did. What were kind of your thoughts on J.C. Latham going seventh overall? I think some of the ideas that everybody had were off the board. They go with the big boy out of Alabama, and they're going to make him into a left tackle, is what Bill Callahan has been tasked to do. What did you think about that pick?
I thought it was a great pick. I think that Bill Callahan is doing with Latham what he did with Jedrick Wills from Alabama when they drafted him. He played primarily right tackle. He moved him to left tackle. And it helps that you have one of the best offensive line coaches in NFL history, and that's what Bill Callahan is. So that should make the transition smoother. And they don't have to worry about the left side of their offensive line for a long time.
What was your kind of evaluation of what Houston ended up doing in their draft, and then the AFC South overall and where they are post-draft?
The Texans had 9 picks. They didn't have one in the first round. They traded that for an extra 2 next year with Minnesota, and they had 5 defensive, 4 offensive. And their first pick was Kamari Lassiter from Georgia. And then they surprised us in the second round. Everybody thought they're going to take a defensive tackle because that seems like a need position, because both of their defensive tackles from last year are gone. And those guys, Malik Collins to San Francisco and Sheldon Rankins to Cincinnati, those guys played very well against the run. And Rankins was good pass rusher. So we thought for sure that's what they're going to do. Instead, they took an offensive tackle. And he's a redshirt sophomore, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. They had him rated higher. One of the things our GM, Nick Caserio, tries to do, he tries as hard as he can to get a player D'Amico Ryans wants for his system. And then a safety, Callan Bullock. When you have 3 of your top 4 safeties spend the second half of the season on IR and you're playing safeties, veterans signed off the street during the season, it's amazing they were able to play as well as they did. So those top 3 picks will help. Cody Stover, Kate Stover from tight end from Ohio State in the 4th round, he might be the pick everybody likes the most, because he's reunited with C.J. Stroud, but mainly, too. NFL Network ran so many videos of him working on his family farm and rubbing a bull's, massaging a bull's skin to make his hands harder and tougher. And Rich Eisen on NFL Network couldn't get enough of that one. And, hey, if it works, you know, who knows. But there were 2 things that were – consistently stood out with the Texans. They did this last year in Ryans' first season. They drafted a lot of guys who were captains in college. And they said this is not something that is a necessity, but if you are a captain and it shows what your teammates thought of you and what kind of leader you are. And then they drafted their last 6. All had been in college at least 5 years, and one was in a 6th year. And D'Amico Ryans thinks that experience in college will help for the transition to the NFL and allow them to be able to contribute quicker. Colts got the guy that I got to know here during the Lombardi banquet, Lietu Leitu, an edge rusher from UCLA. We were so impressed with him down here when he won the Lombardi Award. He's going to be very fearsome for all these quarterbacks in the AFC South. And then, the Jaguars, they have – it's funny, a team that had a winning record and has so many needs. You know, I'm guessing if Doug Peterson doesn't get in the playoffs or if he takes a step back into a losing record, his job could be in jeopardy. And I liked the Tavondre Sweat pick surprised a lot of people because the Titans took him so high. And it's not the DWI. Obviously, they vetted that, but it's 366 pounds. You know, I don't know if there's anybody productive in a defensive line who weighs that much. And they always worried about his weight at Texas, but he can play. You know, having him and Jeffrey Simmons next to each other, if he's going full speed and he doesn't get winded, especially on rundowns, that'll help Simmons so much. It's almost like Simmons made that pick because it just works out so well for him the way it did Byron Murphy, who was the first defensive lineman drafted by Seattle. Having those two guys in front of the middle linebacker, boy, that should make that guy's job a lot easier. And then is it Cedric Gray? Is that the inside linebacker who's going to replace Al Shaair? From North Carolina, fourth-round pick. I thought he was an underrated pick who didn't get a lot of attention before the draft because everybody was watching Drake May. And I thought he was a real good pick, too. Should compete for that starting job that Al Shaair that's available when he signed to be reunited with D'Amico Ryans.
We're talking to the great John McClain today on the Chasing Big Joe Show. John, you know, when Latham was drafted and then Rand comes out and so does Callahan and say he's going to start at left tackle, and later it's like, well, he might be at right tackle. Well, he might be at guard. All this, you know, talk that's going on. Let me ask you this. You saw Bruce Matthews up close and personal play tackle, guard, and center. What made Bruce Man? I'm not saying J.C. Latham is Bruce Matthews, but what made Bruce Matthews so good that maybe Latham could attain to that he was able to play these different positions at a high level?
Bruce Matthews, offensive line coach, late Bob Young, said one time that Bruce is so light on his feet. He's almost like a ballerina. I think you could put a tutu on him. And that was one of the best quotes I've ever gotten. And because everybody was talking to Bruce, giving him a hard time about putting on a tutu and getting on a stage. He also said that while Mike Munchak is a technician who does everything I ask him, he said most of the time Bruce just ignores me because he can do it without using the technique because he's so gifted. So Bruce was really smart, and he was very gifted, and he is a great athlete. He started the equivalent of one season at every offensive line position. And a lot of people in the NFL think he's the greatest offensive lineman in NFL history. But first of all, you got to be really athletic. Now, in Latham's case, he's got good feet, but he's also really strong. And so there's never been an offensive lineman like Matthews, but there have been many who made the successful transition to right to left tackle. But it's not easy. You know, it's like you're doing everything backwards from what you're used to doing it. But when you've got the athleticism and you're smart and you got a great coach, that's going to make the transition so much easier.
With Callahan coming out saying and Rand saying he's going to start at left tackle immediately, confidence-wise, what does that do for the young man thinking, all right, we're going to start you left tackle, go forward, we're going to work with you? I mean, there's a lot of ways it can go with this, but go ahead and saying he's our left tackle. I know there's a lot of pressure, but again, this is a National Football League. There's always going to be pressure on these guys.
He was always going to be the first or second lineman taken just depending on your taste. You know, the big, strong, physical guy, as opposed to Joe Alt, the athletic guy. The Chargers took Alt, Titans took Latham, and I think he knew, everybody was telling him he's going to play left tackle in the NFL, and now if he had gone to the Chargers, he would have played right tackle, as they got Rashawn Slater there, and so I think this was a perfect thing for him. We're guessing that Brian Callahan's going to, the running game's got to be important to him. Every year, they had multiple running backs. Joe Mixon had 1,000 yards because you need the running game to take the pressure off the quarterback. You know, it's not just in the third or fourth quarter when you're behind and the defense knows you're going to be throwing and you have to abandon the run.
Right.
But in this case, it's if you don't have the horses to run the ball or the linemen to do it, they can also abandon it. So I think that's going to be important. Callahan, everywhere he's been, they've had a strong running game. And Brian comes from Cincinnati where they had ballots, which helped Joe Burrow and helped Jake Browning last year. So I think Latham's ideal. The fact that they've solidified that left side, I think, is tremendous based on where they were 2 years ago.
He is John McClain. We'll have more with him coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, here on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. John, I have to ask you, being down in Texas, I know you're in Houston, but thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott reuniting with the Cowboys? Is that, that's their big move of the offseason, apparently.
I think one of the biggest head scratchers in the draft was Cowboys not drafting a running back. Zeke hadn't done anything since 2020, I think. And if they're expecting him to rebound and be what he was when he came there in 2016, everybody thinks they're nuts. At least he didn't get used up last year with the Patriots. I think they talked so much about Texas running back Jonathan Brooks that the Panthers traded ahead of him to get him. And right now it looks like their starters would be Rico Dowdle or maybe Elliott. And that's not what
Deuce Vaughn.
Prescott needs. Deuce Vaughn, but he's not a full-time guy. And so maybe they got something up their sleeve we don't know about. But their offseason has been disappointing in free agency and disappointing on the running back. Now, they got they drafted good offensive linemen. They got a good pass rusher. But it's just mystifying how Dak Prescott is going into such an important season. And you let Tony Pollard get away to the Titans, and I think he'll be better this year than he was last season now that he's a year removed from surgery on an ACL. I think the Titans are getting him at the right time, but I don't know what the Cowboys are doing.
You know what's funny, though? I look at this, and it's something that you said several months ago that has stuck with me, that I feel like this is Jerry. This is Jerry's plan all along, that McCarthy's in a lame duck year. He's got 1 year left on the contract. He's not going to be the head coach after this year. I'd be very, very surprised. And then he's kind of looking at, all right, is Dak really the guy of the future? He's put nothing around it. I mean, yeah, he's got some receivers and CeeDee Lamb and stuff like that. But I kind of think he's looking more beyond this year and probably knows this year is going to be whatever it is. And then he makes a coaching change. That's what I kind of think is going to happen.
At his age, he shouldn't be looking beyond next month.
Yeah.
And two that were really interesting, Arthur Blank, which I think taking Penix is the dumbest decision I've seen in 48 drafts by the Falcons.
Yeah, that GM's going to get fired.
Not because of Penix, but because of Kirk Cousins and that entire situation. You know, owners who hit 80s, they get desperate. And if Mike McCarthy wins 12 games again, I think he'll bring him back. Jerry has never had a quick hook on a coach. And but they certainly have not helped their offense. And I don't know if they got some undrafted free agent that they think can help them. But they haven't maximized what they could do on offense. And you guys know there were a lot of good running backs after the first round, especially in the third through fifth rounds. And it just doesn't make any sense unless Rico Dowdle, they're putting a lot of eggs in his basket. And if McCarthy gets fired, a lot of people think he'll turn to Bill Belichick. The problem with Bill Belichick, like in Atlanta, he wanted to get his band back together. And if you are Terry Fontenot, the GM over there, and you have final say, and Bill Belichick is looking at you while you're sitting down saying, I want so-and-so, how can you possibly turn him down if you want somebody else? So the Cowboys, based on what's at stake for them next season, I just wasn't very impressed at all with the running backs. And then the Falcons, the Penix picks, may go down as the biggest head scratcher draft history.
Yeah, John, I was going to ask you about the Penix thing. You know, it would have been funny if the Falcons would have drafted Spencer Rattler in the fourth round just to make it a joke, just add more quarterbacks to the team, then we know that had been a big joke. But when you saw that the Penix got drafted right there, your reaction, mine was like, oh, this has got to be a joke.
First thing I thought of is Cousins is not where they want him to be on his surgery to repair that Achilles and be ready to go. And it turns out that's not true. It was really weird because the GM Fontenot's in his third season, I believe. And if Penix, he said, if he doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, that's a good problem for us to have. And I'm thinking, yeah, and you probably won't be there. And Raheem Morris might not be there. He just fired Arthur Smith after 3 years. And the owner's getting more frustrated because he's getting older. How they sold that to Arthur Blank, the whole reason Arthur Blank told them to sign Kirk Cousins, no matter what it took, is because he thought Cousins gave him the best chance to win now, to dethrone the Buccaneers in the NFC South. And that's not what they did. Could have had any player, defensive player in the draft, and they haven't had a really good pass rusher since, like, John Abraham 2 decades ago. They had a terrible pass rush last season, and yes, they did draft defensive linemen after the first pick, and maybe they'll be really good. And I felt sorry for Penix, too, because he missed so much time with injuries before he transferred to Washington. He's going to be 24 this month. And so if he sits for 4 years, let's see, 24, 25, 26, 27, he'll be 28 years old before he's the starter if Cousins' contract expires. So there's some people out there that liked it. I don't see any possible way you can like that move.
Oh, absolutely. Another thing, can Tom Brady just shut his mouth and go on? I mean, he keeps coming back, John, with, you know, well, the door's open. I might consider this. I might do this and that. Because what it does, it upsets the balance of a team and everything. Can we just have Tom Brady say, all right, I'm done, I'm finished, and not talk about him coming back anymore?
I think it's kind of pitiful that he still wants to play. He wants to play for a contender. There's no way you're going to have a contender available unless the starter gets hurt and the backup plays well. And then what is Brady ready to step in during the season and play? I don't think so. One more thing about Cousins and Penix. Cousins throws one interception, it's okay. But if he, say, throws one in the end zone, they lose the game, they're going to have a controversy. They're going to have – and that's the last thing you need when you're trying to win a division is a distraction. And they're going to have a big-time quarterback controversy, and they're going to say they don't, and they're going to say it's not a distraction, and it is. There's just for so many reasons, this was not a good deal. And I don't care that they don't have their number one – they might not have their number one pick next year. It just makes – no sense when everything is about winning now.
Yes, indeed. John, appreciate it as always, my friend. We look forward to these conversations every week, and we'll do it again next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us from Houston, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. Coming up next, we get back into the Preds' big win last night in Vancouver. They're still alive. They were able to scratch and claw in any analogy you want to use to keep the series alive, and now it'll come back to Bridgestone Arena Friday night. We'll discuss that in hour number two next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.